The Mauritius Command by Patrick O'Brien, read by Robert Hardy. Captain Aubrey of the Royal Navy lived in a part of Hampshire well supplied with sea officers, some of whom had reached flag rank in Rodney's day, while others were still waiting for their first command. The more fortunate had large, comfortable houses overlooking Portsmouth, Spithead, St. Helens, the Isle of Wight, and the constant procession of men of war. And Captain Aubrey might have been among them, since as a commander and as a young post-captain he'd done so well in prize money that he was known in the service as Lucky Jack Aubrey. But want of a ship, the failure of his agent, his ignorance of business, and the sharp practice of an attorney had reduced him to half pay and no more, and in fact his cottage lay on the northern slope of the Downs, not far from Chiltern Admiral, and the rising hill shut out all the sea, together with most of the sun. This cottage, though picturesque among its ash trees and even romantic, ideally suited for two in the early days of his marriage, was neither large nor comfortable. It had always been low-ceilinged, pokey and inconvenient, but now that it also contained two babies, a niece, a ruined mother-in-law, some large pieces of furniture from Mrs. Williams' former home, and a couple of servants, it was something like the Black Hole of Calcutta. Except that whereas the hole was hot, dry and airless, Ashgrove Cottage let in draughts from all sides, while the damp rising from the floor joined the leaks in the roof to form pools in many of the rooms. These people, Captain Aubrey maintained on 9 shillings a day, paid half yearly and often long after the anxiously awaited date. And although in his mother-in-law he had a remarkable economist to help him, the effort of doing so had imprinted an expression of abiding worry on a face that nature had meant to look cheerful. At some distance below Ashgrove Cottage, a deep lane led up through the fungus-smelling woods. The heavy autumnal rains had turned the clayey bottom into a quagmire, and through this quagmire, sitting sideways upon his horse, with his feet so withdrawn from the mud that he appeared to be crouching on its back like an ape, rode Dr. Maturin, Captain Aubrey's closest friend, the surgeon in many of the ships he'd commanded. A small, indefinably odd and even ill-looking man with pale eyes and a paler face, topped by the full-bottomed wig that marked him as a physician, if a somewhat old-fashioned one. On his saddle-bow lay a net filled with a variety of mushrooms, and now, seeing a fine flush of St. Bruno's collops, he sprang from his horse, seized a bush, and scrambled up the bank. As he did so, an uncommonly large black-and-white bird lifted from among the trees, its vast wings labouring in the calm. Maturin's hand darted into the folds of his sash, whipped out a little spyglass, and presented it well before the bird crossed the valley and vanished over the hill that divided Ashgrove Cottage from the sea. With great satisfaction, he stared after it for a while, and then lowered his glass to the cottage itself. To his surprise, he noticed that the little homemade observatory had been moved a considerable distance to the right, to a point where the ridge dropped 50 feet, and there, standing by its characteristic dome and overtopping it, as Captain Gulliver might have overtopped a temple in Lilliput, stood Captain Aubrey, resting an ordinary naval glass upon the dome and peering steadfastly at some object far remote. The light was full on him. His face was sharp and clear in Maturin's telescope. And with a shock, the doctor saw not only that look of anxiety, but also the marks of age and unhappiness. Stephen Maturin had thought of Aubrey as powerful, resilient youth itself for so long that this change and the slow, weary motion as the distant figure closed the instrument and stood up, his hand pressed to an old wound in his back, were unusually distressing. Maturin closed his glass, picked the mushrooms, and whistled his horse. 10 minutes later he stood at the door of the observatory. Captain Aubrey's bottom now protruded from it, entirely filling the gap. "Hola, Jack!" "Stephen!" cried Jack, shooting out backwards with surprising nimbleness in so large a man, and seizing...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?